All right, who the hell are you and why are you here?
Okay, my name is Kevin Maxwell Ostrom. I own a company called Maxwell Cycles.
Sort of. I always thought it was just because of Maxwell's equations.
It could have been. My dad had high aspirations for me, but didn't quite get there. So now I'm building bicycles.
We all have those problems. All right, so obviously you're doing a board track or e-bike type moped thing. What are you after here? It's a lot different than what a lot of people are doing with e-bikes.
Yes. Different is what I was shooting for. And yes, it is board track inspired. Favorite motorcycle all time, 1919 Excelsior Henderson, big valve motor. I love that. I will never be able to own one. They're, what, $250,000 to $500,000?
Well, you could just do what Brody did.
Yeah, and build one. Believe me, it's been on the table.
If only any of us could match Brody.
Yes.
He's actually here, I'm sure, so I have to find him.
Oh, I'm going to have to talk
to him. Oh, no, I saw pictures. He's here, and he's got something that is like real bike stuff, not retro.
I wanna talk to him about it, because I love his project.
He's the king.
Yeah, he is.
So, there's nobody better than Brody.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anyway, so what are you after? Like, you're using a... Is that a pretty big motor for an e-bike type thing? It certainly was what they use for hubs.
Yes.
But you're using it centrally located.
I am using it centrally located. It's small for my application. This is a 1,000-watt system, and it is a hub motor. It's a front hub motor, Crystalite 3540, and I needed that round shape to get that round crankcase from the board trackers.
You're making a lot of decisions for aesthetics.
I am making a lot of decisions around aesthetics. I needed a visual impact. I'm a new builder. I could build a road bike, a mountain bike, a cross bike, a gravel grinder, a cruiser, and it would look awesome, just like every other bike that's out here.
Sure.
But it's just like every other bike out there. So I want people to stop and talk and go, what is that whack job doing?
But you love this.
I love this.
And what, like, you ride these? You're in Petaluma?
I am in Petaluma.
So do you ride these on the street in Petaluma?
I have ridden these on the street. This is year two of work. This has been a lot more complicated than I could have ever dreamed of. I figured,
making a bike seems simple, huh?
It is. And then I want to throw some crazy idea into it, and then it just, you go down the rat hole of insanity.
So what are you doing for batteries? You making your own battery packs?
I am making my own battery pack. That's been the biggest difficulty. This is third version battery pack, second motor version.
How about controller? You doing your own controller?
I am not. That's an Edlin motor controller. And the reason, this is a little bit more power than what you're supposed to have. It's built around that 1,000-watt Crystalite hub motor system. But this is actually capable of generating 5,000 watts. Motor's been
the battery in the controller.
Battery in the controller, and the motor's been rewound, and it's oil bath to take the heat and give
it. So that's a lot nicer than someone's front hub motor.
It's
what you got in there.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
Right.
It's far, far too. I mean, it makes, for a motorcycle guy, it'll make you giggle.
Okay.
For a bicycle person, it's probably a little scary.
Okay, so were you just saying that it's underpowered, though? Like, for what you want?
So, the 3540 system, their stock, off-the-shelf system, that 1,000 watts, it's quick. You know, it's a 52-volt, and you're running, I don't know, anywhere from 20 to 30 amps. You could probably push 40 out of it occasionally. Maybe overvolted a bit more, run up to 72 volts. It just depends on cost for batteries and how far you want to go. And that system, it'll make you smile, but it's not for people who are used to that speed and that visceral input.
I'm used to a GSXR 750. How am I going to do?
It might make you smile a little bit. That's the goal. I mean, you want it to be like, oh, well, I know these little components. It looks like this.
For gas motor guys, how many horsepower is this? Like eight?
Yeah, it's probably eight maximum. Uh-huh. It's probably in that five to seven range.
Okay, okay.
Every day.
So your battery packs you're making them yourself. How expensive would it be? And you haven't. It doesn't look like you're doing like a quick release battery. But like, how expensive would that battery pack be if it were, say, a quick release style?
Just the battery pack alone in my configuration, the non commercial version, it's almost $5,000 for batteries.
Wow.
That's the number one reason to not do it that way.
Are they like totally gizmo batteries, or are they just basically standard E, like real E bike or E vehicle quality batteries?
It's a lithium polymer, but it's the voltage and the amperage requirements to deal with the heat and the energy generated. It's been difficult to get them made and affordable. So the only smart thing that I did on this entire bike was I designed it around that stock 3540 system. So if somebody wants one, I can build it. I can buy an off-the-shelf battery. I can get an aesthetic that is okay, and then it's a safe, fun vehicle to ride.
You're scalable the way you have it, is what you're saying.
I'm
so that you can price it down, but you're also trying to go up.
Yes, I want that higher end customer, and it's always going to be kind of that higher end customer just because of the complexity and the numbers that would ever be involved, but it's. You know, if you're buying a battery that costs almost $5,000, what's this mean? You're going to buy a $20,000 bicycle?
It really adds
probably
up.
Not.
It gets
expensive fast.
Right.
So, trying to make this so that it's at least not insane.
Sure. Well, we're all crazy. Any of us that do this, because you're not going to get famously rewarded. So, is this a throttle?
It is a throttle.
Hand throttle, I mean.
It is a hand throttle.
All motor-driven bike things have throttles.
It needs to be
whether
a hand
or not
throttle.
You see it or not.
Yes.
It's much
gonna,
confusion it, on the internet.
It's gonna be a pedal assist, which is still your throttle. Your feet are essentially working as your throttle.
But it does have a hand typical throttle.
Yeah. I was going through the different versions.
Sure, sure, sure.
Could
of,
be.
So, of throttles.
Of throttles. So
right, right.
It can be hand, so thumb or twist or your pedals. I mean the. All the low voltage, you know, that, I don't know, the 250 to 750 watt stuff.
I read online you can use these anywhere because an e-bike doesn't have a motor.
That's nuts. What are you people talking?
That's what everyone says on the internet,
no.
Bro. There's no motor,
it may not
it's
have an
e-bike.
Engine, but it's got a motor. Come on.
I know.
I'm just messing around. This is not right.
There's not too many e-bikes I can talk about here at the show. I think there might be one other.
No, there are more than you would think. There's a few builders with...
I haven't looked close yet, obviously.
There's a few builders with the step system.
Sure.
Really nice, clean system. I love it. But it's a bicycle system.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, you're trying for something different.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Aside from, let's say, the package...
Okay.
What else? I mean, your fork, you posted some pictures yesterday or mm-hmm. this morning
yep.
or whatever, constructing your fork, and mm-hmm. it looked great.
Thank you.
The construction stuff. I heard you criticizing some things about it before we started recording. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but
okay.
I really enjoyed the construction pictures. I don't build that type of fork, and I thought your pictures did that kind of construction justice versus just buying some off the shelf. Whatever they're called, trellis lugs or whatever they are, and you're doing it yourself, and I think it's good for people to see that.
Well, thank you. So yes, the fork, when I originally designed the fork and built, it was the aesthetic. I needed to have a particular look, so it had to be a bent fork. It needed the trellis. I had to have a twin plate fork crown. It just I wanted it to be a certain way. So trying to find tapered tubes that were thick enough has been difficult. These are tandem
fork blades. As a steel builder, it's always what tube exists versus what tube do I want.
Yes. And so it's a 24 millimeter, and it's a 0.9 millimeter wall and a 1.3 at the small end. So it tapers down to a 12.5 millimeter. It was the...
Is that a round tube fork?
It is okay. a round tube okay. fork. That makes it much easier to do all the... So. Yeah. So
drilling holes. Round holes are easier to drill than oval.
As much as I wanted to have an oval-bladed fork, there was... It was hard enough just making that.
Sure.
So...
And it looks good. It looks fine. I think it helps. Like, you can make the... Like, from a design point of view, I think if you're modeling that fork, you know, I love to model stuff. But if you're modeling it, you can get your aesthetics right with your crown so that it looks the way you want it to look, even though it's got round blades.
Yes. No. And it... So...
Like, don't use an oval-style crown with round blades because it's obviously going to look wrong.
Yeah.
You kind of have to nudge everything.
Yes. And so I've got the aesthetics aside, getting through the mechanics. When I originally did this, the through axle stuff had been out, but there weren't a whole lot of options for hubs and things. Now there's lots of through axle hub options, things that look a little more retro, which is exactly what I need. This does not have a through axle. That'll help with rigidity. The putting a disc brake on a raked fork, a non-straight, it's all sorts of issues.
Oh yeah.
And it just...
Wait till you take it in the dirt.
it's a really bad idea. But the problem is I have to have it a certain way. So it sent me down this whole design and engineering direction that, okay, I have to have this aesthetic. How do I make it safe to use? Okay, so I have constrained myself with a certain look, and now I have to engineer it to make it work. This one's close, but not close enough. You know, it has an inch and an eighth steerer tube. It really needs an inch and a quarter. The tubes need to be a little bit larger, thicker wall.
It's going to start looking more like a Henderson.
It'll start looking more like a Henderson, yes. But... It pulls that whole look into...
Have you thought about doing what would look like a cast front end to go with the aesthetic?
Oh, man, I have not.
Because if you're going to go down that road, I mean, you're talking about cast joints.
Cast joints,
like that.
Cast crown. I mean, that crown would lend itself
to casting. You're on an E configuration. There's ways of doing it light, but it's like... You'd really be bringing a lot of that element to it.
That would be...
Unless you want the modern take versus more the kind of really conjuring that historic thing.
Yes. I did think about that, having cast parts and having that raw look, but I did... It's an e-bike, so it needs to be modern also. I mean, I don't...
It's tough stuff.
I have
and it's also a lot of money.
Yes. I've defaulted to doing a system that is very vintage and clearly inspired by something old. But there are new components and new parts so that hopefully it brings these things together and makes them work. Makes them look right together.
Okay. And who's the user and where are they using it?
Well, you're looking at him. It's pretty much been a run around town and have fun, get people to stop and talk.
How many miles do you think you have?
Oh, not a lot. I'm at 30 miles.
When was it running?
The last time, because currently it isn't running right now. That was Tuesday morning. I rode it in anger for the first time. And I was a little too angry. And it didn't like me. So I think I've got a problem with it's the regen. I think it's popping the system on regen. It's
what's that? I'm not an electricity guy, but okay. What's a regen?
So regenerative braking. When you go to slow down, the motor will either freewheel, or if you're not pumping energy through, it's going to try pumping energy out. You can actually take that and use it to help slow the vehicle down.
Sure.
I mean, it's not efficient to. It's not efficient. It is not of significance for regenerative braking on bicycles. Personal opinion. And I'm not an electrical engineer, so I can't say that it is or isn't.
The returns are marginal.
Yes, marginal returns. So, but for this, performance-wise, having regenerative braking allows it to decelerate like a powered vehicle. So when you get off the throttle, it doesn't just start coasting.
It feels like a really slippery slipper clutch.
Yeah, so it's nice. The problem is, I think I've got, since the system has been modified or mucked.
Does it feel more like it's going through a gearbox, or does it feel like it's going through a slipper clutch?
More like a slipper clutch,
okay.
Not a gearbox.
Because
it's not that hard hit.
Sure.
It just starts to slow down.
Is there a break point?
A lot of
slipper clutches, you'll feel the engine braking, and then it'll finally just fully give way.
Nope. This is all the way down to stop. So if the battery was dead and you had to pedal the thing home, you would know it.
Sure.
So there is internal resistance, but that's part of that package. And I think that's where my problems are coming from. Before, it was just poor battery design. I was burning up controllers because I was...
Let's say I'm a home builder and I'm wanting to do the same sort of thing. I know there's lots of people out there that they totally are stoked and they want to do this. What are the several things that you could quickly say to them, you know, having gone through this process or are going through it, like just to kind of give them the moral support, the like pearls of wisdom, that kind of stuff?
Number one, if you're really new to this and you're building something that's exciting for you, try to find things that are tried and true. I know it's hard in the e-bike. There's not a lot of stuff that's
just that keep
true.
It simple.
Try to keep it simple. And then go use that as your foundation. Learn how that system works. Ride it. Beat it up. Modify it. Learn through that process instead of trying to take all these pieces that weren't meant to go together and make something that works really, really well.
Thinking you're going to hit a $20,000 home run on the first at bat.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you're not going to do that. I mean, unless you're, you know, a double E.
Unless you're Brody.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly. I mean, if you're that guy that gets it, you know, the one in 500, you know, that hits it right out of the bat. I mean, I thought I was going to be that guy.
We all do.
So I am not that guy. I am.
If it weren't for that kind of hubris, this would be an empty hall.
Yeah. So it's.
You got to survive, though. And once you survive, then you can move on to the next.
Yes, your next iteration. Yeah. And then, you know, start to build off of that, you know, and talk to everybody, especially the guys that are pushing the limits of electric bicycle, motorcycle, car, whatever they're doing. Talk to them, because they've all got these little bits of things that they've learned that are really important to them but may not be so important to someone else and can help you along. So
saying that, like, and we'll leave on this, looking out in the marketplace as to other e-bikes, whatever they may be, electric motorcycles down to, you know, hobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at someone else's stuff, who are you looking at that gets you really excited, that you go, oh wow, like, you know, even if it's high bike or whatever?
On the motorcycle end, Alta, hands down. I love what they're doing. I love their philosophy. They looked at electric vehicles and went, hey, there's all this really, really exciting development going on, but it's based around the efficiency and the environmental friendly and all of these things that are extremely important. But these guys were all performance guys. They were motorcycle racers, car racers, performance guys. And they said they wanted a vehicle that got them excited. And they didn't think there was anything out there that did that. So they spent a lot of time and a lot of energy to build that.
The tracker or
yep.
scrambler
the,
style or
the
whatever
scrambler
it is.
Style, yep. Yeah. It's a super motard scrambler kind of deal.
Essentially, they're going to cash some paychecks.
They're going to cash some paychecks.
What about on the bicycle end?
On the bicycle end, I am really excited about the step system. It's simple. Well,
compared to Bosch, you think steps way better?
I think so. It's definitely a personal taste. The Shimano step system, they've got a much friendlier customer service. It's been my own experience.
You mean compared to you can't have this?
You can't have this, or oh, we'll sell you one if you buy 500 of them. I mean, it's,
Right.
You know, that's
aside from that.
And whereas, you know, the Shimano guys, they want to get it out there, and they've built a really nice user-friendly system that everybody can feel comfortable using. So I really enjoy that.
How about this is a, you know, I have obviously very strong opinions on e-bikes on dirt in NorCal. But this is obviously street going, and there's lots of e-bikes on streets, and I totally am about that. I think it's the future. From a legal standpoint, where do you think the next big hurdles are for the e-bike crowd, you know, in terms of on-street use?
In terms of on-street use, right now it's Wild Wild West. There are regulations. You know, you've got your different categories, everything from what they consider a full legal bicycle, that 20 mile an hour, pedal assist, no throttle, low power, under 700 watt kind of thing, to the guys that are building, you know, the 1,000 watt, 5,000, you know, clearly it's a moped. And they're...
Well, some almost are motorcycles.
Yeah, and some are almost motorcycles. They kind of fudge it a little bit and say, no, it's only a moped.
It's got pedals, but yeah. Bullshit.
And so... In the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, it's all going to be about the regulation, how the people who are building their bikes get involved with that. Because if they don't get involved, someone else is going to make the regulation. And it's not going to be what you want. I mean, you may not get what you want anyways, but at least you're going to be part of the process. If you're not part of that process, you're definitely not going to get what you want. And
as we've learned, politicians are really good at breaking down the technical needs of the citizenry.
Yes. And, you know, least common denominator, because it's the easiest thing to do. I mean, it's the nature of things.
Cool.
You need it to work for everybody, so we're going to make it not work for everybody.
Right. Not work for anyone.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to leave you at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.